All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Ryan Folland, and you are about to experience the 313 show.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
All right, you've heard it there. That is the disclaimer. We are broadcasting live here in KUCI. That is 88.9 FM in Irvine, and you're listening to the 313 show. What the heck a diddly-do is a 313? Well, it's a great question, and that's what we're going to use to guide the show today. The 313 is a methodology that I've created, and I've worked with thousands of people to help them through a simple simplification process. That's a double simplifier. And it really helps to tease out some of the core messaging. And what I love about it is it gets me to really get to know individuals, their businesses, what they do, and more importantly, the problems that they solve. So today I'm excited. We've got Deanne Russo. Deanne, are you on the line?
I am here.
Excellent. And now where is here?
I am in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeehaw. All right. I actually applied to speak at the Ohio HR conference, of all things. So that's on my brain the last couple weeks. I don't know. It seems like a big conference. Are you going to be at the Ohio HR conference by chance?
Possibly. Very possible. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's my target audience. So it looks like it.
Hey, very cool. Well, I'll let you know if I get the gig, and maybe we can have a coffee radio chat that's not broadcasted online. But we are here, and we are live, and we are broadcasting over the airwaves as well as on the old thing called the internet. And today, I'm excited because, to be totally honest, I don't know too much about you and what you do, and that's exciting for me. I know that you've met with and had a radio show with my business partner, Leonard Kim, on the Influence Tree Show. How did that go? How was the experience?
I don't think that I did have a show with Leonard Kim, actually.
You didn't?
That doesn't sound familiar. I was on a podcast recently with Ira Bowman, who I met on LinkedIn, and I connected with you because I was actually doing a LinkedIn video on the 313 method.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay.
And I tagged you, and that's how we met and connected.
Yes, that is right. So, yes. Now, how did the 313 make it all the way to Ohio? That's what I want to know. Yeah, a women's leadership group or something, right?
My networking group is called H7, and the leader of the group brought the 313 method to the group, and we all did it as a group exercise. And it was very helpful, and I enjoyed it so much and appreciated it so much that I thought this would be a good topic for a video. So I've actually been doing videos on LinkedIn now for about 6 months or so, and I thought that would be a good topic.
Sweet, and it was. So now the fog has cleared. I know exactly where we're connected, and I'm excited to run this through. And what's fun is that you've already experienced it. You've sort of dug through it, and it'll be fun to tease it out and see how far you've come, and we'll see if we can move the needle a little bit more.
Sounds good.
As somebody who is a professional at explaining what they do to convince others of basically either hiring you or having you help them become better businesses and business leaders, just so I have a feeling of where you're at, like on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your comfort level and confidence level when it comes to articulating what you do in that proverbial quick pitch?
I would say it's about a 7 right now.
Excellent.
Think I could use a little bit more work, but I'm definitely better after working on your method. But I think I can get closer to a 10 by the time we're done talking.
All right. So we are looking for some improvement today, and I'm almost positive that we can see it. And I don't say guarantee because the only guarantee is that there are no guarantees. And that's a lesson I learned
right
a long time ago. Well, before we really dive into the process, I want to get to know you a little bit more. And remember, I don't want to know really what you do at this point, but this is just more about you and some of the stuff we'll tease out along the way. But My favorite way to get to know people is to ask them for a story from their past that is a pretty decent representation of who they are. It could be from your childhood, but I really believe that we are the conglomeration of all of our stories. And if you really pick out anyone in particular, there's a good chance that it might reflect who you are as a person, and that's fun to get to know people that way. So what would a story be that comes to mind?
Well, one of the stories I was thinking about was actually the topic of one of my videos a few weeks ago. So it wouldn't be that far in my past, very recent past.
That sounds good.
But what I work a lot with the recruiting industry without actually going into too much detail of what I do.
Yep.
And I did a video called What is a Purple Squirrel? And it got people's attention because a purple squirrel is not usually something you see out on the trees outside the window.
Right.
It is basically an acronym used by the recruiting industry. And I got people's attention because a lot of people outside of the recruiting industry are not familiar with it. And a purple squirrel is basically a candidate with a very specific group of qualifications. So an example in the IT world would be a C-sharp engineer or a Java software developer. And outside the IT world, it could be like a RN at a nursing home or a very specific group of qualifications that's not, like I said, not as generic as other.
Not your average bear, essentially.
Right.
But more like a purple squirrel, okay?
Right.
And so so you were sharing this, and is the story that you got attention, or is the story that you had the bravery or courage to talk about purple squirrels when people might think that you're going bats?
Crazy. both.
Both. Okay. So just from that little tiny story, I'm assuming that you really don't have, I used this word the other week about fearless, and I got some pushback. So I'm going to say the same word, but I'm going to change the way that I say it. I'm going to say that you are fearless, as in maybe you have less fear than the average bear because you're willing to talk about purple squirrels. So do you think that, not fearless, because that's kind of an extreme, and I think we all have fear with what we do, but do you think one of your qualities is that you maybe fear less than the average bear?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say that is because not a lot of people can do videos in general, can go on videos. Some people just don't even like pictures. But the fact that I'm able to produce videos and then post them for thousands of people to see, that takes a certain type of person in my eyes.
Yes. And are you a live streamer as well? Are you more of a videoer?
I am videoer for now. LinkedIn just launched the live stream, so I'm definitely considering that, but I've also done Facebook Lives as well.
Okay.
So I can do it.
Yes, I believe that you can. I think for somebody who's willing to go on a live stream, that also shares a lot about themselves. And what's interesting is that LinkedIn and these other platforms are so hungry, they are so bullish for videos, but it's still amazing to me how many people are not producing videos. I mean, I think that we're at this stage where you've come to a point, the technology is there to make it so easy, but there's still such a big activation energy for somebody to, as Brian Fanzo says, hit the damn button, right? That record button.
Right.
Do you have
any
advice to help other people who might be fearful to be fearless when it comes to putting themselves out there online via video?
I think the more you think about it, the harder it's going to be. So if you don't think so much about it and just press the button to do it, it doesn't matter if you trip over a word. It doesn't matter if a hair is out of place, because in the end, what people are paying attention to is what comes out of their mouth. So if you have something of value that you want to contribute, then video is a good way to go. And if you have a message, for example, I have a cousin of mine who just launched a Mary Kay business. And instead of writing a really long dissertation of why she's doing it, she just did a Facebook Live video and said, here I am, and this is what I'm doing, and she got it out there. So it's not a matter of, you don't have to think so much about it. Video is a great way to get your message across, and people will watch it. It's pretty crazy how more people don't do it.
Yeah.
But it's really not. I mean, if you're posting pictures on social media and you're writing stuff on social media, then what's going to, what? Why not video?
Right. I mean, a video is really just like 24 pictures per second, right?
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, good. I think that I've got to know you just a little bit based on the story. You're not afraid to put yourself out there. You're not afraid to sort of rattle the cage. You're not afraid to get people's attention. You're not afraid to put yourself out there. You're not afraid to find the words that create the value to put out there into the world. And you don't think about things too much so that it holds you back from helping other people, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, there you are in a nice little bucket. This is great. So I'm excited to meet you. I'm excited that you're willing to kind of continuously improve. And I'm a big believer that we are always learners. I come from a family of educators. And what excites me about going through this process is that I'm continuously learning as well. So so this has been an evolution, and we're going to step you through the 313 process. And here we go. So think of it almost kind of like as a game show-ish for the first couple questions. The 313, at the end result, what we want to do, the deliverables, is to explain what you do in three sentences, one sentence, and three words. And we really start with the first three sentences. So forget about one sentence, forget about three words. We're just going to focus on the first part, which is these three sentences. And the sentences comprise of simply the problem that you solve, your solution, and the market. And if you guys were out there thinking that there was going to be this crazy, mysterious, secretive kind of like I'm unleashing the veil behind the Wizard of Oz, like it's pretty transparent. There's no mystique here. It's just focused on the problem you solve, your solution, and your market. And what I think is fascinating is that, I mean, I could just talk with you about the problem that you solve for an entire hour. And I mm-hmm. think that we sometimes forget to go back to the beginning and really sharpen up the tools before we start getting out there doing the work. With that being said, the whole premise is based on my belief, my findings, the research that I have come up with in my own experience, that people care more about the problem that you solve as opposed to caring what you do. I just first want to understand your thoughts on that. I argue nobody cares what you do. They care more about the problem that you solve. What does that mean to you? How does that resonate?
I think that there is some notes of accuracy in that, because what you do doesn't necessarily, I don't know, I like that. I like that idea.
And I like that you have notes.
Everyone has a problem to solve. It's not about what you do, essentially. It is about the problem that you solve.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, this is kind of a hard thing for people to I guess, connect those notes of truth together. I love how you said notes of truth, by the way, because I'm not trying to say it's either one or the other, and it is kind of a weird invisible line. But if you think about it, there's been this term like WIFM, right? What's in it for me? And there's a certain way of looking at relationships. Now, as a baseline, I mean, on my computer, it says, it has a sticker, do good, be kind. I'm all about equality. I'm all about tolerance. I'm all about diversity. I'm all about inclusion. I'm all about, like, just caring about people in general, like for the human race. So I don't want that to be confused here. We're talking about what you do during the day, like what you do to get money and how you earn a living. If you think about it, there are so many people doing so many things, but you just don't have the brain space for it. I find that the people that I'm most interested in, that I'm going to invest my time in, can solve my problem. Like, it's that mm-hmm. kind of simple. And if you're on the same page, at least with some teased out notes of truth in there, then it really is important that you can explain the problem that you solve without telling me what you do. And this is important. It's not just about saying, here's the problem I solve and here's what I do. It's telling me the problem without telling me what you do. So do you want to take a crack at telling me the problem that you solve in just one sentence without telling me what you do? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What's the problem that you solve?
Businesses who are looking to reduce the burden of the hiring process.
Okay, so if we just took that as a standalone sentence, one of the first things that we can maybe help improve on is using the word problem. Because if you just looked at that sentence, I wouldn't know what you're really trying to say. I wouldn't know that it's a problem. So think of it as a keyword. I believe just like we search Google for keywords, everyone's brain is like the original Google, and they look and your brain looks and processes for keywords. So just simply adding the word the problem is, or one of the biggest problems that I solve, or the biggest problem. If you use that as like a bing in my brain, I'm like, wait a minute, she's talking about a problem. So just try it one more time, incorporating the word problem to make it as a standalone with a keyword that I'm going to recognize.
Okay. The problem that I'm solving is...
Take out that I'm solving.
Helping,
just say the problem is.
Helping companies...
Wait a minute. Wait.
No, that's not a problem.
No, yeah, but see, you use the word helping, okay? And for anybody listening, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just kind of being fun game show host. And that is a sign to kind of stop. As soon as you say, I'm helping, that's what you do. So try the problem is, and then work into it.
The problem is hiring is hard.
Okay, let's just stop there for a second. I kind of like that. I'm not going to lie. The problem is hiring is hard. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, if we asked somebody who you didn't know and just randomly off the street, we said, hey, the problem is that hiring people is hard. Is this a problem, yes or no? What are they going to say?
They may say no.
Okay, now why?
Because they might not think that it's as hard as what I'm saying it is.
Okay, so you just answered where I was going with this. So what makes it hard, right? So have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
No, not yet.
Okay, good. I like that you said not yet. I like this. When words are powerful, right? When you jump out of a plane, are you going to, if you had a choice, like you're there, you're about to jump out of the plane. They're like, okay, now it's time to put on your parachute. They give you an option of a circular parachute or a rectangular parachute. What does your instinct say you're going to choose? Ready, go.
A circular parachute.
Okay. Now, the challenge with a circular parachute is that you don't have any control over where you go. You might end up in a lake, up on a hot wire, in a tree, or on somebody's antenna, right? Because it just, you go wherever you land. Now, hopefully, you're going to jump out of the plane in an area that doesn't have any live wires. But the difference between a circular parachute, proverbially, and a rectangular parachute is your ability to control where you go. So when you see somebody who's dressed up like, Evil Knievel and flies down onto the Super Bowl and lands on the 50-yard line with smoke coming out of his hair, that guy has a rectangular parachute. So an exercise is that when you think of the words that you choose to use, poof, 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 they are all jumping out of the airplane that is you. Your mouth is a cargo chute that is opened up. Poof, poof, poof. And if you use general words, it's like attaching those words to a circular parachute. And you just said you don't know where that word hard, actually lands in somebody's head. So when we use specificity in the words that we choose to use and sort of paint that picture, we're attaching these words to rectangular parachutes that can land more accurately where we want in people's heads. So if we're going to go back and attach some parachutes that are rectangular, the problem is hiring is hard. Like, how else could we help snip off some of the parachute to make it so it's very clear what element is difficult so that when you tell somebody, they kind of are like, yes, that is a problem. I can't see how it's not a problem the way that you said it.
Hiring is expensive and hiring takes too much time.
Okay. Now, I love both of those as problems. Now, here's another little teachable moment is that every time you describe an additional problem that you solve, so you first said expensive, and then you said it takes a lot of time, right? For every additional problem than just one of them, it increases the chance that people won't see it as a complete solution by 100%. So the example is that I might think that it's expensive, but for me, it doesn't take that much time because it's expensive because I hire a recruiter to do it for me and I don't take any. So yeah, I don't see you as a full, I don't see that as a full problem because you kind of talked about two problems. And this is a challenge that we have to face when we're communicating initially. So of those two problems, expensive or time consuming, what would you say is like the higher level problem if there was a hierarchy of the problems?
Too much time.
Okay.
And then expensive.
Right. Because if you think about it implicitly, time is money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way that you position it, if it just takes too much time, then that could be something that resonates. Because it's hard to argue that it happens quickly, because it does take time. Now, what is the pain? What is the, it takes too much time, And then what does that result in? So the singular problem is the time. Now the results, or the actual blood from that cut, is going to be what? So what happens if it takes too much time? Like, what's the big deal? What is the pain? Just, you can just tell me.
It just, it prolongs. It's not good. It's not making for good business.
Okay,
it prolongs it.
So what does not good business mean? Is it that you lose money? Is it that you lose clients? Is it that you waste money? What are the results of the hiring process taking too long?
Yes, I think all of the above. I think depending on what the position is, you could lose money if you don't have the right person for the job. I think that other people get stressed if they're taking on too many responsibilities. And it could be, it could be expensive as you're running around in a hamster wheel trying to fill the position, and you don't have the team that can really help you find that right person.
Okay, so there's a lot in there, which I like.
Yeah.
One of the things that teased my ear was it depends on the position. So,
right,
what is there a particular position that's harder to hire that secretly you specialize in that maybe I don't know at this point?
We can go back to that purple squirrel conversation.
Okay.
Java developers or project managers are the two of the jobs. A C-sharp engineer, so it's someone with a very specific group of qualifications that perhaps the company and the HR team at the company might not be able to find as quickly as we could find that qualified candidate.
Okay, so I think we're actually stepping a lot closer now to where this magic might happen, because if we look at what you first said, which is that it's hard. Now we've talked about it's hard because it takes time. And we know that it creates stress, there's financial burden, there's productivity burden, there's all these like pain elements to it. But when you talked about the fact that the real problem when it comes to hiring from a time perspective and a resource constraint perspective is that when you're trying to hire a purple squirrel, it takes more time than you would think, which ends up costing you more money, which ends up making you lose business, which ends up making blah, 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 right?
Yes, yes.
So the problem, from what I'm hearing, is that the problem is when you're trying to hire for a specific technical team member, could we say that, would that be enough to sort of loosely talk about a purple squirrel as a technical
yes.
team member? I kind of like the TT,
yes.
like technical team member.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest problems that you're going to face in your business is when you have to hire a technical team member, but you don't realize how much time it takes, which could result in lost business, lost customers, lost this, lost, and you can just sort of like, you know, just lay down the blood as you see fit. But the difference in this situation is that you're focused on it being the time, which results in all of these other things, as opposed to saying the problems are that it takes too much time and it's expensive and it causes stress. So it's by simply positioning the main problem and the results of that problem that allows you to tell someone on the street. So here's a true or false question. The problem is that when a company is trying to hire a technical position that is hard to find said candidate, the time that it takes is a problem that they don't see, which could result
yeah.
in them losing business and blah, 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 right? If you asked
yeah.
somebody that question, would they say that's a problem, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And the confidence, the conviction in which you say that is a totally different than like, I'm not sure. So you see how just a little bit of work in defining the problem, making sure that there's one core problem, making sure that you really help people understand the pain behind that problem, and that's the magic package into one sentence.
Yeah.
Okay? So here's the cool thought exercise that you can do if you only have that, right? Let's say you're listening here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, streaming online at 88.9 FM here, and then all of a sudden you've got to go because you just got to work. If the last thing you hear is this, you still have crazy value, because I'm assuming people ask you all the time, what do you do? Whether it's
mm-hmm.
people that you meet, you're at networking events, like That happens pretty often, right? How many times a month do you think, on average, you get asked the question, what do you do? I have no idea, but what's the number?
How many times a month?
Yeah.
Probably anywhere between 15 and 25 times, depending
okay.
on who I'm talking to.
Okay, that's a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that when somebody asks you what you do, you tell them what you do, and that's natural. But my challenge to you for this next month is when somebody asks you what you do, look at them, sort of come up with this answer on the spot, and say, I know this may sound weird, and it's not a direct answer to your question, but it's not, like, what I do doesn't matter. What matters and what I'm passionate about, what I give it up in the morning for, what I live my life for, whatever you want to say, what's most important is the problem that I solve. And then you stop talking.
Yes.
If you stop talking, that's the hard part. Stop talking. Don't continue the sentence. And it's going to be an awkward silence, probably like 2 seconds. And then they're going to get their eyebrows a lift and they'll go, so what problem do you solve? Now you've gotten them to step into your conversation. And you say, the problem is that when small to medium-sized businesses are hiring for technical talent that's hard to find, they don't realize the amount of time that it takes. That is the problem. And then you can say, do you see that as a problem in the world? And there's a good chance if you have it positioned right and your sentence is good, they're going to say, yeah, that's a problem, totally. Then you can say, so is that a problem that you or your company's facing? And if they say, well, actually, yeah. And you say, is that something that are you trying to fill that position soon? Are you trying to solve that problem? Well, yeah. Great. I can help you out. And what has just happened there? it's kind of a wow moment, right?
Yeah.
So you haven't even told them what you do. Because if you told them what you do, you'd sound like everybody else. You'd probably scare them off. And typically, people ask you what you do just to fake listen so that they hope that you ask them what they do so that they can tell you what they do when you're actually fake listening to try to figure out how to turn the conversation around to see how you can get them interested in what you do. Right?
True. Yeah.
So just if you take nothing else from today, this is a fun experiment. When somebody asks you what you do, you go through that. Do you want to do a little role play and practice just to tease it out one time before we move on?
Sure.
Okay. So I just met you. Hey, nice to meet you. I see your badge there. Okay. Hi, my name's Ryan. Nice to meet you. What is it that you do?
Well, what I do doesn't matter.
You got to follow up with what's more important is the problem that I solve. You got to do that keyword.
Matters is the problem I solve.
Interesting. So what's the problem that you solve?
Well, when a small to medium-sized company is hiring for a technical position that has a very specific group of qualifications, they don't realize the time it takes to fill that position.
Now you follow up with do you see that's a problem?
Yeah, can you see that's a problem?
Oh, yeah. I know that particularly in our company, we've had a couple technical roles that have been open for a while.
So what we do is we can help you.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
You haven't closed me yet. So there's no, see that urge? You're like, I want to tell him what I do. I really want to. Okay,
yes.
So I kind of set you up with a little curveball, but I said, right? Like that is a problem. In fact, it's kind of something I have. So then you could say, so your company is actually dealing with this right now, right? And I would say, yeah. And then you have to put a temporal stamp on it. You have to say like, oh, that's interesting. Like, is this something that you're actually trying to fill? Like, or is this just kind of how serious are you guys about filling this position? And be like,
okay,
I'm totally serious. And then you're just smiling. You're like, perfect. I can totally help you out.
Okay. Yeah.
So we don't have to go through that again, but that like it is amazing. And if you really want a safe place to practice, get an Uber or a Lyft. Actually, Lyfts are better because they're more talkative. But most of the time, if you're in a Lyft or an Uber, they'll be like, oh, where are you going? Or what are you doing? Or what do you do? And you just say it's funny. You say that, but it's not what I do that's important. It's a problem that I solve. And you just let that silence sit. And it fills the car. And all of a sudden, they're like, they actually turn around. They're like, huh? What problem? Okay, so that's a good testing ground for it. So I think you can obviously work on that a little bit, but I think that it's there's definitely some improvement in that pain point. So now you have me, like, interested. My next question is, okay, so how do you solve the problem? Like, what, okay, now back to my original question, since now you've drawn me in, what is it that you do then? What is your solution? So here we're back to kind of the game show. What would be your solution in that situation, telling people what you do? This is probably what you typically do. What would you say, and can you say in a sentence?
We help those businesses fill those positions that they have problems filling on their own.
Okay, so my, without judging that at all, my question to you is, does that solution solve the problem that you stated?
I think so.
Okay, so let's go back. And
now you have me questioning.
Well, and here's the thing.
I'm going to go back to the problem.
but this is the key point, is that so many times people that I talk to, and I have no, like, alternative motives. I just ask them,
right,
what is the problem that you solve? And then I'll be like, okay, what is your solution? And a lot of times it's not completely connected. And the challenge with that is that you only have a very small amount of time to make this first impression. And you know your business, but the person you're talking to doesn't. And so if you say, this is the problem, it's okay to basically say my solution is I do this to solve that problem. Like, there has to be a very, very direct connect. So if the problem is that you know, people don't realize the pain and blood and misery around hiring a technical position, that it's going to take way longer than they think, if your solution should draw a line directly to that. And what I think was missing for me is that there was, like, I still don't know what you do. You basically just help people with that problem. But is it a consulting? Do you do videos on LinkedIn? Are you a one-on-one type of person? Is it an immersive experience? Do you use VR? Like what, right? The very top level. I'm a coach. I'm a consultant. Like, you have to have one of those key words. So maybe try it again, but with, like, just the top of the iceberg. Don't get into the how, but just give me a little bit more so that I'm like, yeah, I can see how that solves the problem. So try it again.
Okay. I connect with those companies that are having problems hiring for those technical positions, and I connect those companies with our recruiting team to get those positions filled.
Okay. So that is definitely more clear. I feel like it's a bit long, and so maybe they're... Like, just now, we're just kind of riffing. Like, what is it that you do? When you say the word connecting, like, that still is like a kind of a circular parachute. Like, just what do you do? Do you have a database of clients already? Do you do particular executive searches? Do you have a whole farm of purple squirrels that's in your backyard? Like what does connecting mean to you?
Well, I use LinkedIn a lot for it. And the reasons why I started the videos on LinkedIn was to connect with more people, so more people know who I am and what I do, and kind of just get myself out there to network more.
Okay, so is LinkedIn a big part of how you connect people?
Yes.
Okay, so there's an opportunity for you there, right? You can say, what I do is I leverage my skills at LinkedIn, or I use LinkedIn to navigate and scrape and find these nuanced positions with people. Like, there could maybe be something around there, because you want people to see that this is something that is kind of particular to you. So you could say, my solution is a blend of consulting and strategic LinkedIn-ing. I just made up the word LinkedIn-ing, right? Like, that could even be funny. It shows your personality. You're like, I do it's a hybrid, maybe hybrid. So what I do is I use a hybrid method between using my personal connections and strategic LinkedIn strategy. We can find a better word for that, to pinpoint, find, and connect what we call purple squirrels, these very niche technical positions, to fill that company spot that they can't seem to find, or something like that, right? So do you see how that, like, if we looked at what you first said and what I just sort of made up on the spot, you know, there's a little bit more specificity. You could even throw in the purple squirrel as kind of like that teaser that you want to get people's attention. And the goal here is to get them interested to learn more. So I'm going to take a timeout for a second. What is the difference between the word what and the word how?
How is more descriptive?
Yep.
What is more black and white?
Okay. So when you describe your solution, I want you to describe what your solution is. Make it black and white. Make it clear. Make it crisp. Because if, like, a lot of people make the mistake of when someone asks them what they do, they will answer how they do what they do. But that's not what people asked. And when you tell people more information than they ask for, that's when you're talking at them. That's when they tone out. That's when they realize that you're not listening, and they just sort of look for the next person to talk to at the networking event. So the
yes.
goal of this solution is to be black and white enough so that when you're done with the sentence, there's this amazing little silence, and then they will look at you 99.999% of the time and say, huh, how does that work? And you're like, yes, 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 they asked me. They've asked me how it works, right? Instead of you mm-hmm. telling them. So this is another step in the process, right? What do you do? It's not what I do. It's a problem that I solve. Great. Do you realize that's a problem in the real world? Yes. Do you have the problem? Yes. Is it something you're looking to do soon? Yes. Great. I can help you out. Well, wait. What do you do? I use a hybrid method of LinkedIn, consulting, and my personal connections to find what we call pink or purple squirrels. These are those technical positions that are so hard to find. And we find that right match, and we connect them, thus lowering the, you know, reducing the amount of time it takes to hire that position. And then I'm going to be like, huh, okay, hybrid. How does that actually work? And now you've gotten them into the spot where you can start to dive into that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want another little sort of pro hacker tip, when somebody asks you how, before you answer, say, you know, before I explain, because I'm really excited to share with you, what do you know about the process of hiring technical positions? So when you ask them, then you get to know your audience more. And they're going to say, well, actually, I don't know really much of it all, but I just hear one of my managers complaining about it. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, cool. So let me tell you how the process would work, blah, blah, blah. Because what if the person you're talking to is in HR and they're like, well, I know all about this. I mean, we've done this. We've done the searches. We've done LinkedIn Navigator. We've done this. We've done this. We just can't seem to find it. Then you can be like, uh-huh. Yep. Okay. You know, we typically see how a lot of people go through those steps. But here's how we do things a little bit differently. I go out there and I make a video on LinkedIn about a purple squirrel and I find somebody or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you see how you're using this as a way to spark interest, also stir up what they know, and then deliver the information sort of in a as-needed basis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you like that? Is that good? Is that working well?
I think so.
Okay. So we've got the problem in one sentence. We have our solution in one sentence. And again, without going too much into it, making sure that that solution sentence really has what you do. Is it a hybrid? Is it a consulting plus this? Mention the word LinkedIn, because that's really what it is that you use. And then
yes.
reinforce so that they are lined together. This problem is solved by this solution, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now to the third sentence, which is your target market. Can you tell me your target market in one sentence without using the A word or the E word?
The A word or the E word? What is the A word or the E word?
Anyone or everyone, but don't say it out loud. They're bad words. I mean, we're regulated by the FCC. We can't say stuff like that, so I might get in trouble, but don't say the word anyone or everyone to anyone. Oh, wait, no, I can't say it. Okay, go ahead. Because when you are for anyone or everyone, you are for no one.
True. It's very true. I would say our target market is Columbus, Ohio.
I like where you're going. I like it.
There's a but.
Okay.
We are not exclusive to Columbus, Ohio. So if there's companies in other parts of the country, we will work with anybody. And there's the A word. I use the A word.
Oh, burr.
the red X. Like in Price is Right.
Yeah, no whammy.
Yes. So I would say companies, but specifically Columbus, Ohio. Can I do that?
So, I kind of, but I feel your hesitation because you realize that that's still every single business in Ohio.
Okay?
So the main takeaway that I want you and our listeners to hear and understand is that the more specific you are, the better the person you're talking to can help to identify whether or not they know that person. And here's the thing. If somebody, let's say you tell me the problem, I love it. You tell me the solution, I'm sold. And I'm like, okay, how can I help you out? And you're like, well, I'm looking for all businesses in Ohio. My eyes then roll to the back of my head and I say to you, I'm sorry, I can't help. Like, I just, that's, I'll get back to you on that one.
Yes.
But if you were to say, and I'm just going to make this up, our target market is focused in Ohio. Where, what city are you in?
Columbus.
Okay, and that's a pretty big poppin' city, right?
Yep.
Okay, how about this? The clients I enjoy working with the most are based out of Columbus, Ohio. They have over 50 employees with a goal of increasing to 100 over the next 24 months. They're a tech company who is growing fast and can't seem to find enough technical talent.
That's good.
Okay, so if you told me that, I would think to myself, boop, 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 boop. Okay, Johnny's got a tech company. Oh, you know, he's only got like 4 employees. Never mind. Then there's Sally. She works at a company that, you know, they've got more than 50, and I know that they're, yeah, you know what? That might be somebody for you. But also, more importantly, the person you're talking to, if they self-identify, well, I'm not a tech company, I don't have 50 employees, and, you know, that sounds great, but, like, it's just not me, that's perfect. That's actually, the sooner you can figure out if the person you're talking to is not a potential client, that's almost just as good as figuring out if they are a potential client. Because you can stop pitching them, and you can be like, oh, this, I mean, what I do probably wouldn't work for you. No problem. I'm done selling. Do you know anybody else that has that problem?
Yes.
You see, because you stopped, you had the respect to stop to try to sell them something that they didn't need.
Right.
Because you were specific. But if you said all businesses in Ohio and they have a business in Ohio, and then you keep pitching them, but like they're not a tech company, they're not looking for tech roles, like there's this disconnect.
Right.
So
the
importance and the lesson to take from the target market is don't be afraid to get targeted. Because you can always expand from there. Like if you say super niche, and the person knows somebody outside of that, they'd be like, huh, well, I know so-and-so, but they don't live in Ohio. They're in California. And you could be like, oh, well, you know, on an exception basis, we do work we have affiliates or partners, stuff like that. So, you know, I'd be willing to see if their problem is something I can solve. Do you see how it's not if I could help them out? It's if I could help solve their problem. Because people care more about the problem you solve than what you do.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Got it.
So, deep breath, right? Woosah. That was literally like 44 minutes just on these three sentences.
It was. Are we going to have time for the rest?
Well, we're going to kind of go through some of the other stuff here, but how is this process so far? Because I'm excited because you've done this on your own. But do you see building on what you've done based on all these kind of little nuanced things that we've teased out?
Yes.
Okay, good. And I like the quickness of that, like boom.
I'm good, yeah.
Okay, so three sentences is cool, right? We like that. These are the three sort of sentences in the pocket that you can have to drive conversation. You can actually incorporate some of these sentences into your LinkedIn, into your profiles, and it's just understanding that it's focused on this problem that you solve. So if we've got that down, how could we squish this all together into one sentence? Because I think that if you can say things that you can say in three sentences in one sentence, it's that much better. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Are you any good at math?
No.
Okay, good. I'm gonna just listen for the cue and you'll know what to do. There are three letters, A, B, and C. You can combine them linearly in different orders. So A, B, C, A, C, B, C, B, A. For example, how many times can you combine those three letters? 6. How many times? Six.
Six.
Six. Yes. Yes. See, give yourself a little bit of credit here. Okay. Now let's take A, B, and C and replace it with P, S, and M. How many different ways can you combine P, S, and M in random orders? Six. How many times?
Six.
Six. Okay. Six. Wow. Okay. Who says that you're a recruiter? I think you're a mathematician. So what we just did right there, using mathematics, and in mathematics, they're factorials. So if there's three objects, then the equation would be 3 factorial, which is an exclamation point. I remember seeing this in math and being like, an exclamation point? That's the coolest math ever. And it means if there's 3 elements, it's 3 times 2 times 1. If there's 4 elements, it's 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. If there's, 10 variations, it's 10 times 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And so it exponentially grows. But if we have the P and it stands for problem, the S and it stands for solution, and the M and it stands for market, you can combine those 3 elements into one sentence 6 different ways. Here's an example. I solved this problem by doing this for these people. That's the order in which we did it. Then you could say, for these people that have this problem, here's what I do. And you can say, these people with my solution no longer have this problem. So you literally can take these 3 elements. And this is why I was really focused on just getting you to say like one problem, right? So you can say, for small tech companies in Columbus, Ohio market who are crippled by the amount of time it takes to hire technical talent, that's the problem. I have a hybrid solution that incorporates social media and my personal relationships to fill the roles faster.
Wow.
And I just made that up, but you can make up 6 different versions. It can spin however many different ways, but now you have a formula. You think problem, solution, market. Market, solution, problem. Solution, market, problem. Like, however way you spin it, all the needed information is there. So let's say that you're not feeling conversational and you don't want to do the whole, it's not what I do, it's the problem that I solve. And somebody asks you what you do and you say, well, for the problem of hiring technical talent is not only a waste of time and resources for companies, and that's why I have come up with a solution to fill those spots quicker, specifically in Columbus, Ohio, or something, right? So it's just, it can flow. It can flow and flow. Do you see how that works?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you like it?
I think so. Yeah.
And the thing is, you have to put the work into the problem, solution, and market to really know those and whittle them down to sort of sharp points. And then you can use them. And if you're in a networking situation, oftentimes you'll meet multiple people that come up into groups, and you don't want to be the person that says the same thing over and over and over.
Yes.
Now you have an ability to completely change the way you say what you do without saying exactly the same thing every time. So this isn't like, I want to eliminate the elevator pitch because it sounds rehearsed. But if you have these tools and things that you can use to sort of compile them on the spot, it's not memorization, it's preparation meets improvisation.
Yes.
Okay. So now, that's the easy part. Now let's go to 3 words. Now, you said that you would come up with, what were the 3 words that you came up with as you did this on your own?
The 3 words were bring qualified candidates.
Okay. So for me, that sounds more like a tagline. Okay. Mm-hmm. The 3 words that I talk about is not a tagline. In fact, it's not really 3 words. Like, forget about that for a moment. It's 2 things in relationship to each other. So very quickly, when we learn language, we learn things in relative terms. Ryan, this is a table because it's not a chair. This is a microphone because it's not a cat. That's a dog because it's not a moose. Like, we have these, we use relative connections in our mind, and we do that enough, and we create these little, neural tracks that build up over time. So when somebody says blank, we create this mental mind map in our brain of what that is, not only as its pure form, but in relationship to other stuff. Okay? So what you're doing with these 2 things in relation to each other is you're utilizing what people already know, and you're making them make the connections in the head. So let's just answer a couple lightning questions. So if you were a car, what kind of car would you be?
I don't know.
Okay, so are you a Lamborghini? Or are you a
Hummer?
Going
fast. A Lamborghini goes fast.
Yeah, but it's also super expensive, like crazy expensive and high maintenance.
Right.
Okay,
so
what
we're
about
not a Lamborghini?
What about a Tesla? Are you efficient? Are you sort of modern? Are you sleek? Are you pricey
yes.
but reasonable, right?
I would say I wouldn't even say pricey. I don't think we're pricey at all. I think we're efficient
okay.
more than anything else.
And now we talked about you being a hybrid, right? So you're kind of like a Prius. You've got sometimes you got
yes.
all the gas when you go out there you do it yourself. Sometimes you're utilizing LinkedIn, which is more like battery power, right?
Yes.
Okay. So think for a second of you and your company as a Prius of technical recruitment. Now, whether or not
wow.
that makes sense, it doesn't make sense. But in your mind, in the milliseconds after you hear it, your brain is trying to figure it out together. And so
yes.
Let's say that if you understand 100%, it's 5 points, right? But you're just trying to get 3 out of 5. So
mm-hmm.
Let's say, what if you are the Subaru of recruitment? Maybe not so much, because like maybe you don't identify
yeah.
with it. So we go back to the Prius. Maybe you're the Prius. Think of me as like a Prius of recruitment.
Yes.
Now, if you were a superhero, what kind of superhero would you be?
I don't know. My family is superhero. Yeah, my kids love superheroes. So
okay, so what?
I wouldn't say I might be a Captain America because we can get those purple squirrel positions.
Oh, see, I like where you're going. So, okay, so just identifying. Think of me as kind of like Captain America when it comes to recruitment.
Yes.
Or I'm like Flash of recruitment.
Yes.
I do it real fast.
Fast.
Okay? So the idea here is not a tagline. You don't want to tell people what you do. Remember, they don't care about that. They don't care about bringing connections faster. But if somebody met you and said, hey, what do you do? And you're like, think of me as kind of like I'm kind of like a Prius for recruitment, and they'll be like, they'll get like maybe 1 or 2.5 of the 5 points. They'll be like, huh, what does that mean? And then you could jump right to your solution. Well, I've got a hybrid solution, which includes using LinkedIn and my personal connections to help hire technical talent for small businesses faster.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, or you could say, think of me and what I do. I'm kind of like Captain America of technical recruitment. Oh, what is that? You're like, well, you know how Captain America goes out there and saves the world from, or, you know, finds these, damsels in distress or people in need. Well, I do that for companies. And instead of, you know, there being a nuclear terrorist attack on the company, it's the fact that it's their resources are being drained by the fact they can't find technical talent. And so, like, I swoop in and do that. And you,
yes.
you probably don't even have to say that much because it connects in people's brains by themselves.
Right.
Now, you can have multiple ones. You can have varieties, versions. When it's magical is when, let's say that you're talking with a car guy and you know that they're a car guy. And
yes.
you're like, think of what I do as the intake, right? The air, maybe the I'm trying to think here. The
yeah.
What is an analogy within an engine of what you do? You are like a nitrous tank, right? You're like
mm-hmm.
a nitrous tank in someone's vehicle. I'm not going to change your engine. I'm not going to change your business, but you need to go faster. And the only way you're going to do that is if you get some sort of a nitrous boost of talent and you can't find it. So I'm going to get in there and I'm going to install a nitrous tank into your vehicle, which is your company. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I love nitrous. Yes, yes. It makes my car go faster. I get it, right?
Yes.
So there's no perfect answer, but the concept is using metaphor or analogy to connect the dots in somebody else's head. So that's it. We've gone through the 313. What do you think about it?
Great. Fantastic.
Okay, now my final question here, because we're running out of time. On a scale of 1 to 10, starting at a 7, now with these tools that you have, how comfortable and confident are you in your ability to pitch yourself to someone who you don't know?
I think closer to a 9 or 10 for sure.
All right. You know what?
Yes.
It's the little baby steps that make the movement. So
yes.
Awesome. I feel like we've had some fun. We've learned a little bit. And now you can go out and continue to refine the 313 and spread the word and help other people to solve the real problems that they have finding purple squirrels.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, if somebody does have that problem and they're looking for a solution, somebody can go out there and capture a purple squirrel, because maybe you're like the zookeeper of technical talent.
Yes.
Where do they go to find you?
LinkedIn. Look up Deanna Russo, and I will connect you with Dash Technologies recruitment team.
Perfect, right? Because nobody cares what you do. They care about the problem that you solve, and it's a real problem. So if you're having a hard time finding technical talent, look no further. There are purple squirrel catchers, and you know where to find them.
Perfect.
Well, hey, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for that video. And hey, I challenge you now to make another LinkedIn video to talk about this experience and maybe share some of the insights and highlights so we can keep sharing with other people whom we can help solve their problems.
Yes, I will do that.
Awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here. You'll hear it again next week. This has been a lot of fun. Join us, and you can catch all these episodes and more on ryanfolan.com/313show. And that is a wrap. I am mentally and physically exhausted, but I feel good.